Hi, this is Linda Rex with Our Life in the Trinity. Welcome. We're going to talk today about freeing the bent and bound. And this is a sermon for August 21st, Proverbs 16 on the Christian calendar during the ordinary days. Our text today is Luke 13, 10 to 17. And I'm going to first read that in the New American Standard Bible, and then we'll talk about our topic and take communion together, and then we'll end with a benediction. So before we start, though, I would like to have a word of prayer, if you will join me. Father in heaven, thank you so much that we can gather today and look at the Word of God together. Think about what it is to be in Christ and what that looks like for our everyday lives. We pray by your Spirit you will awaken us to the life of Christ at work in us and through us in tangible ways, in expressions of love. And we pray this, Jesus, in your heavenly name. Amen. So going to our text today, Luke 13, 10 to 17, it goes like this. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And there was a woman who for 18 years had had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent double and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your sickness." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made erect again and began glorifying God. But the synagogue official, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, began saying to the crowd in response, "There are 6 days in which work should be done, so come during them and get healed, but not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to water him? And this woman, a daughter of Abraham as she is, whom Satan has bound for 18 long years, should she not have been released from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said all this, all his opponents were being humiliated, and the entire crowd was rejoicing over all the glorious things being done by him. Now think about this. There is this one place where I go shopping sometime, and there is a person there that I see periodically, and it's so amazing. I mean, they're still functioning and working, but they're totally bent over to where they can't look up and they can't really reach up. And man, whenever I see them, I just wish that I could, like Jesus, just touch them and make them well. Now, I've seen Jesus, you know, heal people. He's healed me many times in my life. I don't deny the healing power of Jesus at all. But I think it's good to look at things like this and ask ourselves, okay, what is it like to be Jesus in these places in our life where we see people who are bent and bound, and not just literally bent and bound, but just bent and bound by life, by circumstances, by habits, by addictions, by whatever it may be. Because if we're honest with ourselves, that could be us, right? That could be us. You know, in this story, this lady's been in this synagogue, going to synagogue every week, and for 18 years. Now, what did the priests or the leaders of the synagogue tell her as to why she was bent and bound? Did they tell her she was a horrible sinner and that's why she was in the position she was in? Did they tell her that she was born in sin and that's why she is? I mean, what did they say to her? And was she excluded from going into the temple because of her condition? I wonder about that. And, you know, the thing is Luke, which is, this is the Gospel of Luke that we're reading. He was trying to do one thing, and that was share the good news of Jesus Christ. And here he's telling this story, which is actually like a living parable of what God has done for us as the human race. What has God done for us? Well, we as a human race were bent and bound by evil, sin, and death because of our decision, our choice to turn away from God and to turn to our own things, our own self, our own, the things of this world, the things of this life. And we were in this place. We could not free ourselves. In fact, you know, any of us, we could decide for ourselves, I want to be a good person, but how well does that work for us? We cannot save ourselves. We are bound and bent under evil, sin, and death, except that God in Christ came for us. See, Jesus is standing there in this synagogue, and he is God in human flesh, who has entered into our bound and bent state to live our life, to die our death, and to rise again, bringing everyone up into the new life that is ours in Christ. And he offers that new life to us in the Spirit. And here, this is what the point Luke is making, is every one of us are like this woman who goes about her daily life and can't be anything other than what she is, and that is bent and bound. And who reaches out to free her, to tell her she's free? And Jesus does this for her. He says to woman, you are freed from your affliction. Can you imagine? I mean, for 18 years to be in that position, not being able to do anything about it. And then Jesus simply speaks the words, and you stand upright. And you're able to look people right in the face. And you're able to reach up and grab things that you couldn't grab before. And you're able to just do so many things you couldn't do before. So we forget sometimes that what God has done for us in Christ, and maybe you're still wrestling with that. What about me? I still feel, you know, bound and bent. You know, would Jesus do that for me? Absolutely. He already has done it. He has done it. God has come in Christ. He has died, lived our life, died our death, and risen from the grave. He has ascended to the Father, and our new life is hidden with Christ in God, and God sends the Spirit. Receive this gift and live in the truth that this is yours. You are free. You are unbound. And that's the thing is, okay, what does it mean to be free? And freedom, see, we in America say freedom is I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, doesn't matter what. But that's not freedom. That's actually slavery. That's actually being bent and bound. True freedom comes when we live into the truth of who we are. We were created in the image of God after his likeness to reflect his way of being. That of other-centered, sacrificial love. To be truly human is to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and being, and love our neighbor as ourself, because that's who we are. And so to live in any other way is to be bent and bound. And so Jesus offers us freedom because he comes, he lives the life we were meant to live in right relationship with his Father, and he lives that right down into death and raises us up again. And he sets us free from all the wrong ways that hold us in slavery and frees us to love God and love each other the way we were meant to. So here we have this acted parable where Jesus does for this woman what he came to do for all of us. to set us upright, to free us from what has bound us and caused us to be bent in evil and sin and death. And so Jesus heals this lady. He simply says to her, you are freed from your affliction. She stands up. She, wow. You know, she's probably thrilled to death. But then the synagogue official criticizes him. You healed on the Sabbath. Whoa. But isn't that so much like us? You know, Jesus comes. God comes into human flesh, takes on our human flesh, lives our life, dies our death, and rises. And sends us the Spirit and says, come, live in the truth of who you are, of who I created you to be. And what do we say to him? Go mind your own business. No, you're not doing it the way I think it should be done. You can't heal those people. They're not worth healing. See the things we say to Jesus when he offers us healing and wholeness. And we need to ask ourselves, especially those of us who are people of the Christian faith, what's more important to us? Our spiritual practices and traditions? Keeping ourselves religiously pure and holy, or helping somebody be released from years of bondage and suffering, participating in setting them free? See, these are questions that even I wrestle with, because, you know, it doesn't come naturally. So are we like this synagogue official in the story? I mean, for 18 years, he goes to synagogue every week on Saturday, on the Sabbath, and he sees this lady enslaved by her illness, by the spirit that has held her bound and bent. Probably never even spoke to her, or if he did, it was not with a word of kindness, right? Now, possibly he might have given her alms or something. But, you know, are we like that, to where we just close our eyes to what people are going through without offering some tangible means of a help? And see, that's the thing, Grace Community International specifically is of which I'm an elder at the moment. They're trying to help us understand what it means to participate in the Love Avenue, to participate with Jesus in his expression of love and care for those suffering or in need. You know, we want to actually live out his love in tangible ways that other people can feel it. Our tangible acts of compassion, they can become an expression of God's love that genuinely touch the lives of people, enabling them to feel, to experience God's love in meaningful ways, in ways that have value to them personally. You know, and we can become a part of people's lives and include them in our lives and do more than just talk about God's love, but actually enable others to feel and experience God's love. Now, for some of us, like myself, this is a real challenge. We tend to be more cocooners, you know, protecting ourselves, creating little spaces around ourselves to keep us from those who might harm us and so on. And that's understandable. But by God's grace and his spirit working through us, we can begin to participate in Jesus in touching people's lives in tangible ways, sharing the good news of our freedom in Christ, and helping them with whatever it is that is holding them down. You know, who has God placed in your life? Are there people you interact with on a daily basis or a weekly basis? You know, as you go shopping or go to the coffee shop, or as you get your hair done, you know, who are the people you can talk to, meet? Can you pray with them? Can you help them in some tangible way? Do you have a unique talent or gift that you can share with others? Sometimes simply going somewhere and sharing your gift of music or your gift of reading or helping a tutor. You know, sometimes it's just a simple thing of helping others and helping them in such a way that you're not carrying burdens they're supposed to carry. You only carry the ones they can't carry on their own, and you let them carry their own burdens. So that's what the scripture teaches us, and we have to be careful we don't enable people to continue in their bent and balanced state. We don't want to do that. But we want to come alongside and offer God's love in tangible ways. What makes you uniquely you? And how can you offer that up to make the world a better place in relationship with other people, the people around you? And this is the question, you know, that I've been really wrestling with and coming to terms with is, in what way can my faith move beyond my religious practice into practical expressions of God's love? And that's a really good question. How can our faith move beyond our religious practice into practical expressions of God's love? So while we think about that, we can come to the table of communion and realize that is why we gather together. We gather together because as the body of Christ, we want to create a space where we gather around the table of grace. And then we always want to keep it so that others may share in what God has given. Jesus came to free the bent and bound. And he didn't come for just a few. He came for all and freed all. And so that is why we can come to the table and say, you know, Jesus, he offered his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. Thank you, Jesus, you know, right? So let us pray together. Father, thank you so, so very much for sending your Son into our flesh, into our place where we were bent and bound, joining us in our bondage to evil, sin, and death, and freeing us, raising us up in the resurrection. And thank you for Jesus even being willing to go all the way into death for us, and raising us up into the new life that is ours in you. Thank you for sending your Spirit so that we can begin to participate in this new life, to live it out. We pray for the grace to see the ways in which you would like us to share that with others in tangible ways. As we pause for a moment in silence, Lord, I ask by your Spirit, maybe you could prompt us of a way in which we can begin to do this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you've included us in your life, that we can participate with you in your expressions of love to those who are bent and bound. And we praise you, give you glory and honor, and pray that through our tangible acts, many might experience your love and freedom in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus offered the bread, said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. We receive Jesus, your body, for our body." Thank you. And he offered the cup of the covenant. Pouring out his life for ours, his life for our life. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our God, who is a consuming fire, hold you in the eternal flame of his love and purify you for his eternal kingdom. Through Jesus our Lord and by his Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Do have a great week. I'd love to have you join us again next week here on Our Life in the Trinity.